The topic today is a big topic. It's called the doctrine of humanity or the theology of anthropology. Okay? But let me start with this. I found high school pretty rough and hard. For those of you who were there, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are there, you know what I'm talking about. And those of you who will go into high school, you will know what I'm talking about once you get there. It's a tough time because you are coming of age. You're wondering about the big questions in your life, like, who am I? What's my identity? And where do I belong? See, those two things, identity and belonging, are universal human needs. And we all have that need. And we all need to have those needs met. So in my high school, it was tough for me because I was good in a lot of things, but I was not good enough in one thing. So I felt like I wasn't good enough in my performance. And in terms of my own identity, I felt I was okay, but I didn't feel really good about myself. So I remember going to a party. This is back in high school, senior year. And I walked into this party at a friend's house because the parents were gone. You know what I'm saying? You know, oh, hey, party time. We all go there. And here's one group, the jocks, the athletes. I was okay in sports, but I wasn't good enough to make a team. But I was friends with Blair and Scott, and they were having a cigarette. So I walked up to them, Blair, light me one. Okay. I had smoked before with my dad. I wasn't curious about smoking. I asked for a cigarette because I wanted to belong with the jocks. But, you know, I didn't really feel belong there. And then there's the other group, the academics, the smart kids. All my friends went to the Ivy Leagues, Harvard, Princeton. Now, I was an okay student, but I wasn't good enough, but I knew these friends, so I hang around with them, and yet I never felt comfortable about my identity. And I began asking the questions like, hey, am I a Korean or am I an American? What am I? I had no idea. I was confused. Moving to the college and the university, I didn't know what to do with my life. I didn't know what I was good at. What are my interests? What's my passion? How am I going to make a difference in my life? Am I going to make enough money for myself? Will there be security? So all those questions just came on myself. I never found the answers to these questions. Who am I? Where do I belong? And what's my calling in life? How do I make an impact in the world? And the answer is found in today's topic, the theology of anthropology, the doctrine of humanity. Who are we and what are we supposed to do? Here's the big idea and the theme. We have been, so please follow along in your sermon outline and write these words. We have been created with a unique relationship for a unique responsibility. Let me repeat that. You and I, each of us and all of us have been created, made with a unique relationship. This is a personal identity thing for a unique responsibility. This is the task, what we do, therefore. Okay. So let me read the word of the Lord coming to us from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and down. Hear the word of the Lord. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27. So God, what's the next word? Created. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, the big idea is we are created with a unique relationship for a unique responsibility. We are made in the image of God, and therefore we find our identity, who we are, in this image of God, theology and doctrine, truth, and therefore, out of that identity, we find our calling, what we are supposed to do. So the big concept, image of God. Friends, I went to Calvin Seminary, and I was told in the class, students, there are many teachings, doctrines in the Bible. The image of God theology, the doctrine of humanity is one of the big doctrines in the whole Bible. This is so big. Students, PhD, real smart people, they spent years and years studying this. So here's the next one. Write this in your sermon outline. That, write the word. Image of God means to be created as a reflection of the Creator. So the image of God, you are made in the image of God. Therefore, your identity is embedded in this truth that you are to reflect who God is like and what God is like. It's a reflection, an icon, representation of who God is. So friends, this is what you got to know. You need to feel, not only have your mind enlightened, but have your heart massaged and charged with this power that each one of you, you are an image bearer of God. Turn to the person next to you and say these words. I see a reflection of God in you. Say that. I see a reflection of God in you. And therefore, your worth is not based on where you belong, in what group you belong. Your worth is not based on your performance, how much money you make, how much education you have received. Your worth, your identity, your security is simply based on in this deep truth that you bear, what? The image of God. You are God's icon. You are God's representation. Next line. Therefore, if God creates good things, write that word, if God creates good things, we know that we have a good value. Since God only creates good, and therefore we have good value. You know, friends, I got to say this to you, because so many of us, including me, in the past, present, in the future, so all of us wrestle with our self-worth. We try to go to the world, to our performance, how good we are, based on what we are worth. Your worth is how much? How much are you worth? Elder Vincent, how much does one of you cost? What's going to take? How much worth are you? Here's a phone, an iPhone, iPhone 6. It's about to die. A new one, I think, is I don't know, iPhone 10. I don't remember, okay? But it's well over $1,000. So this phone, a brand new, is worth $1,000. Question, how much worth are you? And the answer is, you are priceless. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are. And who you are is what? You bear the image of God. In the creation, God made everything just by speaking forth. He said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. And God said, let there be sky, and there was sky, and it was good. And God said, let there be birds in the sky, fish in the sea, and it was so, and it was good. When it comes to creating you, God didn't simply say, let there be Vincent. He didn't say, let there be Toad. Toad is a nickname for one of our sisters. I'm not talking about an animal. I'm talking about a person. Okay, focus. Back on the track, okay? Creating human beings is the only creature for which God said, I'm going to create you. I'm not going to make you, I'm going to create you. And he does so in the second chapter of Genesis. The only account of any creating a creature to which God gives specific details, God took, as if with his own hand, a rib from the man. and there was a hole. And God, with his hand, filled it. God fashions with his own hands, creates, he puts himself into creating male and female. You are uniquely created. And that's your relationship. Creator God created you. And those of you who don't believe in the Bible, those of you who don't believe in creation, listen to me. Think it through. If you were not created, if you are here because out of accident or by chance, then you have no purpose. You have no purpose unless you were made, designed for a purpose. And the purpose is for you to have this relationship with God personally, a unique relationship. Got to move on. Therefore, since we have this unique relationship with God, we have a unique, what? Responsibility. Out of who we are, this is what we do. And God says, be fruitful, write that word, fruitful, and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. So this is what we do. We imitate what God has done in creation. We carry on that which he began. He creates the world, and he says to you, be fruitful, increase, meaning I want to have more image bearers. I don't want just one child, and I don't want just two children. I want to have the entire earth filled with my children. I want the entire creation to reflect the glory of the Creator God. So be fruitful, multiply, literally and metaphorically. Have children. Bring them up as image bearers of God. And may they engage in this work of God's creation. Metaphorically, engage in God's creation with your gifts and your passion. The word subdue, okay? It's got a bad rap in the past, and rightly so, because so many people have read this verse, and they thought, okay, I'm going to subdue the earth. I am here to consume it. I'm here to take everything from the earth. That is a misunderstanding of the Bible. The correct understanding is, as God's image bearers, look after God's garden. Cultivate it. Don't lord over it. Make it flourish. As God has fashioned his image of God in us, we want to fashion his glory, his beauty in God's creation by subduing it, by cultivating it, by making it flourish. Okay, now, today's the Labor Day. Labor Day is on which we celebrate and party for the gift that God has given us, this gift of work. And work is not a curse anymore. Work is a blessing for those who are found in the identity of Jesus Christ. We don't dread going to work. We love going to work because we are reflecting the image of God in through our work. At the same time, we are cultivating God's creation in all that we do. As a financial advisor, as a teacher, as a gardener, as a plumber. Now, question. However, when we fell away from God, when we broke this relationship that we had, this unique relationship with God, when we severed that, we also severed not only our identity, but also our understanding of work. And that's why so many of us are lost in our low self-esteem, low self-confidence, and we don't know who we are, we don't feel comfortable with who we are, and we don't know what to do with our lives. Or when we do work, when we go to work, when we engage our hands, it's all about gaining wealth for myself, for ourselves. So Jesus Christ, he is always the Redeemer. He corrects everything. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Christ, all things were created. He is not only the Creator, but he's also the Redeemer. Things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. He is the one who resurrects all of us so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness. Remember that. God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Friends, Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's being. The Bible says he is the exact representation of who God is. Image of God in us has been marred, tainted, disrupted, and yet Christ comes, who is the fullness of God, and he dies for us, and he gives us, he restores our relationship with God through his sacrifice and death. And that's why, here's the next line, please write these words, our full image of God is restored through relationship with Jesus Christ. Pause. Everyone? Everyone here and everyone on the face of the earth has been created by God, but not everyone has a relationship with the Creator. That makes sense? Only those of you who have been restored through Jesus Christ, you get to call this God, this Creator, your Father in heaven. Without Jesus, there is no reconciliation with God. Without Jesus, there is no relationship, personal relationship with God. You could never call this Creator, this intimate designation, Father in heaven, apart from Jesus Christ. So, application. Let's land the plane, quick. So, how should we respond? Number one, seek restoration in Christ. You are forever lost without Christ. Your identity will never be fulfilled without Jesus. And your calling in life, your responsibilities, your duties, your impact in life will never be fully realized unless you are restored in Jesus Christ. Number two, find your thing. Find your thing. Since you are a masterpiece by the Creator, God has instilled, bestowed upon you unique gifts, unique talents. They are God-given. And therefore, find your thing. Find what your gifts are from the Lord. And also, find your passion. You don't discover your passion. Passion discovers you, meaning God shapes your experiences. God shapes your childhood, your adolescence, your adulthood, and what happens to you. He shapes you in such a way that you have a passion for some people. I know a friend of mine who has a passion for teenage moms who were conceived out of wedlock. She has a passion for them. Okay? Some of you have a passion for youth. And that's because those are God-given. So find your thing. So seek restoration in Christ. Find your thing. And three, live it well. Live it well. Give your best shot. Lean into it. Fan into flame God's gifts in your life. And cultivate and enlarge your passion. Here's a quote by Martin Luther, the Reformer. He wrote, and I quote, "The Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes." If you are a dentist, you're not being a good dentist by putting the cross sign on your sign, but rather by being a good dentist. If you're a school teacher, you are being a good school teacher, not just talking about Jesus, but actually being a good teacher. So live it well. And lastly, call it out in others. Call it out. It is our joy to let others know in this family of God, hey, I recognize this gifts in you. I recognize God's passion in you. I'm going to call it out. So keep your eyes open. keep your ears open and observe, look and say, hey, can I call it out in your life? Remember, you have been created with a unique relationship for a unique responsibility. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come to you now, and we'll be singing a song called There Is None Like You, because there is no one like you. You are the Creator, you are the Redeemer, and you are the one who fully satisfies us with our identity and with our calling. Thank you, Lord. Help us to spread your love. We'll be serving the entire block, entire community here, both at South Campus and East Campus. And that's because every neighbor that lives in this community is an image bearer of God. And that's why we want to reveal to them, each and every one of them, your generosity, your hospitality. Help us to love your city well. Thank you. I pray for those of us now. Help us to come into this authentic, real, satisfying relationship with you through Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.